Coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen
and Joe. Hey, Joe. Hey, listeners. How's everybody doing this week?
What is happening? What'd you think of last week's show?
I thought it was incredible.
We've got some news at the end of the show entailing, is that how you say it? Or involving Mr. Don Ellison?
Yeah, it's exciting news. No, I love Gettysburg, and, you know, anytime that we can talk or hear ghost stories about it, all the better, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, Joe, I got some news for you.
Oh, really?
Straight out of Massachusetts. Squatchatusetts.
It's very squatchy out there.
This is breaking news.
I don't have a breaking news sound effect here.
Okay.
Okay.
Residents baffled when intruder cleans home and takes nothing. This is right up my alley because you guys don't know. I am a freak about cleaning.
I saw this story.
A Massachusetts man said when he arrived.
How does that say? Massachusetts?
Squatchatusetts.
Oh, sorry.
I cannot even say that word, so just let me read my story. Man said when he arrived at his family's home to find somebody had broken in and given the residents a deep cleaning without stealing anything. It was not me, but I so did this weekend at my nephew's house.
Oh, you did?
I did. I'll tell you about it later.
All right.
Nate Roman, 44, said when he returned to his Marlboro, a home
the
last week.
House.
The cigarette. With his five-year-old son, who was not smoking cigarettes, the boy was the first to notice the back door was open. It was terrifying to know somebody was in your house, he told the reporter. The homeowner said he was shocked to go inside and discover nothing had been taken, but instead the house had been cleaned. You could smell the cleaning chemicals. I could tell something was wrong when I started looking around the house. Really? And then it says I found the bathrooms have been cleaned. Oh, great.
That's disgusting.
Listen,
is disgusting. People breaking into homes and cleaning.
Dirty jerk. Go clean your house so people don't have to break in and clean your house.
How bad is the house?
He said every room had been clean except for the kitchen because nobody wants to do the dishes, right?
Oh.
Roman said a clue left behind that the toilet paper was folded into origami roses. Suspect that a professional cleaning service had visited the wrong address. Well, okay, then don't leave your door unlocked, you dummy, if you don't want people to break in and clean your house.
They can break in and clean mine.
I know, right? Like,
I feel like a hoarder. Really do.
Have you seen my basement?
I mean, yeah, but you got a business you're running. Mine, I've got my palm trees in the room here.
It's time to go outside with the palm trees.
Yeah, it's finally getting around 80 degrees, so they can go outside.
Yes. But anyways.
My bicycle's in the other room there, which I've got to get my butt on and ride.
Go ride it. Do the cemetery.
There you go.
And put your sticker, this vehicle stops at all cemeteries, which we have in our arsenal for you guys.
Available at every show you.
Yeah, come out and see a show and get a sticker for your car or your bicycle, whichever you prefer. Or your skateboard. You can put it on your skateboard. I used to skateboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day when I had a mohawk. Anyways, Joe.
So today's show, it's fun, but it also covers a very serious topic.
Yes.
We interviewed Jeff Mudgett. Awesome dude.
Amazing. And, I loved him so much.
You know, I really didn't know him when we met him at the show, but after, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to do some research on it. And I watched his show on the History Channel. It's a four-parter, four-week show that covers the history of his ancestors, and wouldn't you know, I can't find the last episode.
Oh, so,
but it was so interesting because watching the show, it's like, wait a minute, I just talked to him like a couple days ago.
Yeah, and it's so funny because like yesterday I was watching Secrets of the Oh, what's that show?
Mysteries at the Museum.
Yeah. And they had a segment about that, or one of those type shows. I can't remember. That was the exact one. But, and it was like, they were talking about this guy's, you know, journey. Mm-hmm. I mean, he even exhumed the body.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, of course, that's probably costly too. But, you know, just an incredible story. Like, how many people would find out a secret?
Yeah.
Like that. But you guys have to listen to his interview. It's really amazing. It's a fascinating story because it leads to more questions than answers.
They always do.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like when I was looking, well, I still am, but looking at the Indian mounds. I have to focus and not let myself go on these rabbit holes that I'm running into because there's so much that you could look up and it takes you down all these different paths.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I thought the best part of the night was when he helped us when we were at the Midwest Parafest and we were doing this paranormal trivia He helped us win it.
It was our table and we only had, four people at our table every other table had five.
So smart. No, we had five.
Oh, did we?
Because Nadine, John, Jeff, you and me.
And the two ladies that I didn't get their name.
Yeah, they left, though. They weren't part of it. I hear random music playing.
Oh, that's a golf cart going by. I got my front door open.
It's nice out. But anyways, guys.
They drive their golf cart up and down the street with the music full blast.
Whatever floats your boat.
I know.
West Toledo, yo. The mean streets of West Toledo with our golf carts. Gangs.
But H.H. Holmes, I was very intrigued about him after I learned more about him. I mean, granted, he was a serial killer and everything, but he was very prolific about keeping track of everything.
Yeah.
And there's a point in time where all his record keeping just stops for a certain amount of days. And then next thing you know, he's back building that castle in Chicago, which was a murder castle.
Wow.
And the times that there was no history of him, basically, because he kept track of everything. He was really like anal about keeping track of everything, writing everything down. And all of a sudden, every information just stopped.
Yeah.
And that was the time when the Jack the Ripper murders happened.
That's so incredible. And I'd like to see what the timeline is of, because, you know, Joe and I investigated, or were part of an investigation of Ohio's first serial killer, which I wonder if it was around the same time.
I should have looked up. It was the 1800s, but who knows when.
But interesting because H.H. Holmes, he attended the University of Michigan. It's so weird because it's just like, you know, Jeff Mudgett's from California. Now he's living in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And it ties it all into this area, right? Like, okay, yeah.
He could have been in Toledo very easily. Very easily.
Yeah, definitely. You know, being that close and traveling, because I believe he traveled Chicago, New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. I mean,
so after,
could have came right through here.
You know, after the point in time when the Jack the Ripper murders were happening, when they stopped, he was back in Chicago building that castle, which turned out to be a murder castle. He had rooms, you know, rooms made with gas chambers in them. There were trap doors in the floors. There were hallways that were 90-degree angles that led to nothing. Like,
it reminds me of like the Winchester Mystery House. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a house like that in New Orleans.
Is there?
That was like that. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So, you know, this story, it just takes on a life of its own. And, you know, to hear Jeff talk about it is really incredible. So, you know, for Jeff Mudgett to find the secret out.
Yeah.
And then as unravels this mystery for him, you know, he's probably just living his life. I believe he, you know, was an attorney in California and, you know, I'm sure he's very much about the facts and you know, case files or all that type of thing. And then to have this type of case show up in your lineage, I think it's really interesting.
As you'll hear in the interview, it was at a party and he just found out, got blurted out that but led him down this path, ended up doing this show, the History Channel show that showed him traveling to England and everywhere. It's just so interesting. And I don't know. Obviously, I didn't read his book yet because I'm a slow reader. I'm still working on the little book I have. But I'm sure in his book, he explains about the DNA evidence and everything that they collected. So let's get into the interview. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know I definitely enjoyed talking to him, and we will be back. All right.
And stopping by the booth, we have Jeff Mudgett. Welcome to the show.
Hey. How are you? I'm happy to be here.
Yes, we are happy you're here,
only
too.
Only on the condition that we talk evil.
Evil.
I love
evil.
It.
Terror and murder.
Of course.
Okay.
Why else would we be here?
Right. Let's do it.
Is this your first time in Toledo?
Yes.
All right. What do you think so far?
Well, it's quite other flooded. Than it flooding, it's yeah, quite, that's what we were just quite charming. The river, the lake is flooding up onto our yacht club at the symposium here today. And luckily, during my speech, we had to pause so that the audience could go out and move their cars.
That you probably never experienced that.
Never.
Only in Toledo. You know, this area, Toledo was a swamp back in the, the 16, 1700s before it was a city. I lost my train of thought.
Oh,
okay,
what?
So I saw him drinking a beer and I was like, damn it, where's mine? But Jeff, you're here as a speaker and you're talking about the book that you wrote. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the book and why you're here?
Well, I'm spoken. I'm done.
Yeah.
Mine's over. Okay.
It's time to
party.
So
now I'm drinking beer.
We are having fun in Toledo.
The nerves.
Saturday night.
The nerves
Toledo.
Are back to normal. I'm here. Chad and the gang asked me to come and talk about my book, American Ripper, my show with History Channel. Mm-hmm. It was on about a year and a half ago now.
Yeah,
and a movie coming up about the story.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'm excited about it.
Oh, that's great.
I don't have anything concrete in contract yet, but I've got a lot of promises being made. Hollywood promises.
Get it in writing, honey. Get it in writing.
Yeah. And I'm having a great time. Everyone here is friendly, charming, and I knew I would when I signed up with Chad.
Now, for our listeners, tell us what your involvement with H.H. Holmes is. So we hear that you found out something interesting about him.
All right. We're all sitting around the family dinner table, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Grandma's chicken and dumplings, all right? My cousins and I are back and forth, razor, sharp wit, back and forth. That's the way the Mudgett family is. My grandmother decides to lay her new hobby on us, that she'd decided we were all related to Robert E. Lee, the Civil War general, and she'd hired this genealogical company long before .coms when it was expensive, and they tracked the family line down, and they told her, better to let sleeping dogs lie. It isn't Robert E. Lee.
Oh.
Well, my grandfather was sitting there steaming and steaming, and he's a very stoic man.
Yeah.
He and I hadn't gotten along my whole life. I'll tell you the funny. I used to love to fish when I was a kid. He used to fish every weekend. My grandfather never invited me to go fishing with him.
Oh, geez.
I'll take you fishing. There's plenty of fish out there.
Yeah. He's got a little Holmes in him, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I'm getting ahead of the story.
Okay.
So he's listening to her go on and on about Civil War generals, this and that. Finally, he's had enough, stands up, slams his chair back against the table, the picture falls to the floor, and says, that will never be discussed in my family again. I'm going to tell you all something I've kept a secret for 60 years of my life, 40 years of my life. We are the direct descendants of H.H. Holmes, the most evil man who ever lived, and he storms out of the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're all sitting around looking around like... Mom's. Grandma, you got any more dumplings?
Yeah.
And I went home with that and started researching. And there's books left and right about this evil murderer in Chicago. Murder castles, things, Dr. Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And it started dominating my life more and more. And I finally set aside my career as a lawyer in California and decided to write my book, Bloodstains, which... We're up to 15,000 sales now.
That's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and I think you've got a tidal wave of information coming about him. Paramount is going to make a television series. We've got a major motion picture doing a movie about him. Yeah. It's going to get unbelievable, the stories that are going to be told about this. Well, they call him America's first serial killer, which is a little misleading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because that's the first time the title was used, not because he was the first guy that killed four or five people.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, your people were from California when you found this, or you were in California when you found this out, or where's your family from?
Great question. When it came out during the trial, the murder trial of Holmes in Philadelphia, that this horrible man had been in Chicago, in Philadelphia, in New Hampshire, in New York.
Okay.
The family, the stigma was so immense, they decided to move west.
Okay.
The whole family moved to California
to
get away from it all. And back then, you could do that.
Mm-hmm. You could afford to live there.
Well, and there was no web following you after, no Google, no Wikipedia, any of those things. You got to go live your life.
What part of California were you in?
Mostly the Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Now, as you were digging into this, and this is new information to you, what surprised you about what you found out? Like, what was like, I can't believe this. Like, what was the big aha moment for you?
Do you really want me to do this?
I want to drink more of that beer.
Well, as I explained on horror and on history and American Ripper, I believe and still believe, and I'm convinced it's going to be proven one day, that H.H. Holmes was the author of the Dear Boss letter, the first time Jack the Ripper was ever used, and the murderer of at least Catherine Eddowes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The lady that was murdered the day or two after the Dear Boss letter was delivered to the media, but the police held it back.
Wow.
I've got a doctor at the University of Buffalo, Dr. Srihari, who wrote a computer program called Cedar Fox that took the Dear Boss and took the Holmes correspondence, ran it together, and came out with a 97% similarity.
Wow. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
I just got a letter from the FBI talking about Dr. Srihari and his amazing computer program.
Wow.
I'm going to send them his data comparing those two and see if I can get an opinion from an outfit like that.
Yeah.
I've already been asked for the data from Scotland Yard.
Wow. Oh, awesome.
This isn't some method for me to sell three copies of my book.
Right.
This is going to change history, I'm convinced.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. I mean, like, how many people can say that? Like, I have the ability to find something out to change the history of what we've known for so long.
You know, I used to practice trial law, and for me, the Perry Mason moment was always magical.
Yeah.
I love that, to work, to research, to find that moment when you're taking a shower and all of a sudden, click, that thought goes off in your head. And I just love that. And then being able to argue that to a jury or to a judge logically so that it makes sense, which is very, very difficult, especially for me. But that's the thing I used to love to do. And now I'm getting to do it with my literature.
What sparked you to want to write the book? Like, I mean,
besides
an attorney.
Learning that you're part of the family.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm always fascinated by, like, how did you sit down and write? Like, did you have to clear out your space and, like, carve time out, or did you just do it on the side as you were, you know, working? What was your process?
I was always a voracious reader. I loved detective novels, the old ones, you know, the Frank Sinatra movies, the old Humphrey Bogart movies.
Yes,
those,
old Hollywood.
I love those movies. And I knew that in order, there's an ego involved, all right?
Okay.
I want to change someone's mind. I want to convince someone that my theory is right.
Okay.
Even if it's two or three, I need that. The way you do that is to write a book.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the difficult thing about writing a book now is there's probably 2 million new books written a year. The publishing houses don't want anything. They won't even take your submission anymore in the front door. It's a very difficult world. But in this day of the web, of this day of Facebook and Twitter, self-published authors like I am you can make it. You can make it. You can have someone like history come up to you and go, we read your book. We want to make a TV show.
Yeah.
You can do it. It's just got to stick with it. You can't give up, and you can't quit when someone says no.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
It's hard because, you know, as a writer, there's a lot of rejection involved. It's like, you
over
know,
and over again.
An actor or a writer or, you know, a performer, there's a lot of no's, but, you know, how many times did Stephen King hear no? Or you know, many authors had hundreds of rejections, and then they get that break. Did you handwrite or did you go write to computer? I'm a handwriter. I will write my whole book out in hand.
Yeah, I have to put it on the computer because my handwriting is so messy.
Yeah.
And then when I go back to look at it, I'm so disappointed what I've produced before. I have to put it on the computer. Mm-hmm. And then I have to edit it 100 times. I mean, I still have people coming up to me with bloodstains that they need a new copy because they've read it 5 times, but then they sneak around to the other side and say, you know what, Jeff? You've got some memos in there. You got some edits. You got, you know, you still have typos in there.
Self-editing is the worst.
That's where
the worst editor.
If I could, my best advice to someone writing their own book: pay the $500 to have someone manuscripted professionally. Because I wish I'd done a much better job at that.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's like the process of writing. You start. It's like turning the faucet on, right? And you have all these ideas, and you just got to pour it all out, and you can't get out, and you're up all night. I can't tell you how many times I stay up all night to write, and then I'm like, damn, now I got to go work.
There's a moment. When you're writing, you might go 2 or 3 years where every time you open the book up to a passage, you don't like it.
Yeah.
You want to change it. You've got to make it different. But there's a moment when you go, damn, that was good. I like that. Yeah. And you know, once that moment comes, once someone comes up to you and says, I read your book twice. I really like it. Let me know when you're going to write another one. I want to buy it. That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then when you write about a Jack the Ripper theory. Oh, wait till you see the cruelty that comes over the rail. People are so nasty about a simple theory, which they could just say, no, I don't agree.
Right. Yeah. But no.
They've got to call you names.
They hide behind that anonymity of the internet, right? Yeah.
You know what's funny about that,
too? I don't have a thick skin, so I take it personally.
It cracks me up. The Ripperologists are always slicing me with knives because of my theory that Holmes was the Ripper. And I turn to them and say, why are you so angry about this? Jack the Ripper was minor league compared to H.H. Holmes.
Right,
this was the real monster. The story should be about him, not about some guy that killed 2, maybe 3. When I was in London with American Ripper, the investigator from Scotland Yard came to me and goes, "That we've agreed with you for a long time. There was 2 or 3 copycats involved with the 5 murders, and that history's just been wrong for 100 years.
That's what I was just about to ask you about, you know, because I know that there was a lot of similarities in H.H. Holmes' styles as Jack the Ripper.
Well, a lot of people will argue with you on that, except during the show, Amaryllis, my co-host, who's now married to a Kennedy. She is upper crust.
Oh, fancy.
One of the most incredible human beings I ever met. She and I are like great friends now. Mm-hmm. She's just awesome, brilliant. I used to call her Scully on set, and the people would get so mad at me because they knew they'd get sued by the producers of X-Files if we used Scully. Everything you do on TV, you have to have a clearance or a permission or a consent for something. It's a crack-up. It's a crack-up. But she found with a retired Chicago detective that during the World's Fair, the Chicago police was so overloaded, there was at least 500 young women that went missing they never solved. Well, through the archives, they found suicides on the lake. These suicides, the women had slit throats and disemboweled abdomens, just like Jack the Ripper.
Suicides.
And Holmes was, Holmes was there at the time.
Yeah.
Now, did he have any writings or a diary or anything that he kept?
You know, I mentioned diaries in my book, but Bloodstains is fiction based on a true story. I was given correspondence by my grandfather, and instead of just always describing those correspondences in my book, I decided just to call it a diary. I do not have a Holmes diary.
Okay.
And I'm very careful in the book to mention fiction based on a true story. You both know, you both being writers, you realize a lot of writers these days are calling books nonfiction, despite the fact they're filling in gaps with their imagination. I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, you have to have that separation, right? Because reality, non-reality, you can't blend the two. And that's, either it's real or it's not.
And that's one thing I like about your book, too, is you state right there that this is fiction based on real stuff. It's, so you let the reader know up front that you're not just making, I don't want to say making things up, but you're just not going on your opinion. You're going on written down facts.
Well, I'll give you an example, okay? The Hollywood guys are juiced about this Holmes curse. If Holmes escaped execution and later went to visit the police, the trial, the judge, the jury foreman, the prosecutor, the prison officials that irritated him during his stay. They either died or suffered terrible misfortune.
Interesting.
Eric Larson, the author of the incredible book Devil in the White City, I mean, he sold 20 million copies. He wrote about it being a supernatural thing. But Hollywood's juice that if we prove he escaped that execution, it wasn't supernatural. He went and visited these people that irritated. So I've got a book, a chapter in the book where he visits the judge at his house, sneaks in the house. The judge is doing his papers at his desk, and Holmes is sitting in the chair, and he clears his throat. And the judge looks down, and there's the man he put to death. And they change roles. Holmes becomes the judge, and the judge fights for his life. I made that up, all right? Although I think it happened, but I made that up. And the whole Hollywood guys love it. They love it.
Now, how much input do you have with the Hollywood guys? Zero. Wow.
I'm sorry. I put my fingers in the zero shape.
We're in a podcast. He put it in zero. That's so interesting. Man.
You've got to learn to live with that.
Yeah.
TV, movies, they've got a tough business. They've got a lot of money to spend, and they've got to make it back or they lose their careers. It's not easy. They, let's face it, they called me talent on the show, okay? There was no talent. I've never done this before. But
I'm just showing up and getting my paycheck. That's it.
Well, no, I was excited. They treat you like a king. I mean, it's a lot of fun. But they're subject to quote-unquote talent being pains in the tail over and over almost every show they produce.
That's interesting.
I can see where they'd be irritated after a while.
I know. I lived in Hollywood. It was an interesting city. A lot of talent, a lot of broken dreams, a lot of heartbreak, you know,
and a lot of people that don't quit.
Yeah.
They just don't quit. They keep at it. And then all of a sudden, click, it works.
Yeah.
So H.H. Holmes, it's rumored he escaped execution, correct?
That's my theory.
Where do you think he went? Do you think he went overseas or stayed in the States?
Back to Chicago? Or?
I don't know. And I think he was given a blank check. And he was a smart enough man to know he had to use that blank check wisely. All right. I'm dedicated to proving the facts with DNA, lack of dental records, the skeleton not matching, the lack of trauma to the neck, that an execution wasn't occurred on the body we exhumed. All right. That's what I'm dedicated to proving. At that point, I'm going to step back and let someone else step in and take it where he went or what he did. And I don't know. He was a brilliant man. Incredible IQ at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor medical degree. He wasn't silly enough to let ego get in the way of him having been caught a second time. I have a theory that he let himself be arrested to have that trial, to set up that fake execution, to get that blank check. Now, your listeners, there's lots of your listeners going, oh, Mudge, it's going off and off. But that's what I think.
Yeah.
And that's when you think Holmes, you got to think out of the box. He was an incredible poker player with life, but not one or two moves ahead. He was four or five shuffles of the cards ahead. Yeah. He was way out there.
Wonder if he was ever in Toledo. Interesting, since it's so close to Ann Arbor.
Well, he hung. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, he hung in Chicago.
Yeah. Interesting. He could have came right through this
Philadelphia
area.
Was his big
he
place.
He could have been in this building.
Indianapolis. Indianapolis was his big place.
Yeah. Interesting. Any reports of things, murders happening in clumps in those areas at that time that could be linked?
I don't know.
Or maybe haven't been linked yet?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Oh, so they did the series for history, correct?
Right.
Is there going to be another set? Is there going to be
nothing more to come?
Just the movie. Who do you think will play the lead?
To tell you the truth, I don't think I'd be in another television show again.
No,
it's not me. It's not me. I like to write. And I like research. I like the law, litigation. Okay. Television, playing talent. It's very difficult for me to show up at a set and not have a script, not know what they're going to shoot, and then to take direction like you're a dog on a leash. It's not me.
No.
And there were problems with that, with me and the team and the director. It was an issue.
Yeah. Interesting. It's such an interesting dynamic because people don't understand what goes into the background of making a show. You know, they're entertained. They watch it. They see the finished product. But you're talking 2 years in the making before the series come out, right? And they
9 months we worked.
9 months. Wow. And you were there the entire time. Wow. That's so cool. It's amazing. Where did they film at?
All over the world. We were 6 weeks in London. We were
In the Ten Bells. Was it the Ten Bells? The pub that Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
I was there once. I had a beer. I had one beer in there.
We stayed in incredible hotels and with the food that was unbelievable. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And then we were Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Indianapolis, Texas. We were all over. It was fun.
That's incredible. I love for somebody to just take me around the world or take me around the country. Anybody out there listening? Hello.
And you get so used to someone grabbing your bags and at the airport and things like that. When it was over, I was like, what? I don't want to do this. No, they treated me like a king.
That's cool. The book. So,
Bloodstains.
Where can everybody get the book?
If you Google up Bloodstains, it'll pop up. But you can go to our web, bloodstainsthebook.com. What happened was when we first wrote the book, we didn't know all the lessons of hacking. When we took the GoDaddy Bloodstains, someone ran in there and got bloodstains.com before we did. So you have to go pay them off that. I mean, there's so many games you have to learn. And instead of doing that, my anger, I just said, let's just go bloodstainsthebook.com. Which was probably silly at the time, probably cost us a couple thousand in sales, but it seemed I didn't want to pay someone $500 for that .com.
I get it. We get it. We're in that business too. We wish you all the best with the success of the book. So everybody go and purchase a book and read it because it's going to be a fantastic read. And so all
and a good movie.
Wonderful.
I'm excited about that. Yeah. There's a tidal wave of Holmes material coming. But thank you both for having me on.
You guys.
This was fun to see you both in operation and let me slide in. That was very nice of you.
Absolutely. And, for all of the listeners, make sure you follow Jeff. You know, he does these conferences, which we're very blessed that you have come to Toledo, our little city.
Can I ask you, water.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one question? Uh-huh. Was I your first guest that came with a beer?
Absolutely, for sure.
All right. And it was, they would say.
Give him a high five.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
That was fun.
Well, Joe, what did you think? I mean,
like I said,
what a nice guy. I really, really enjoyed hanging out with him.
He was the only person that we've interviewed so far that was drinking a beer as we were doing the interview.
That was incredible. And I hope it happens again.
Yeah. I mean, but a lot of the conventions that we do interviews at, whether, I mean, we've had people in the studio here mm-hmm. that give them beers and stuff, but at the convention, I think that was the first one that had an open bar.
I know. It was kind of cool. I didn't have a drink until after the convention, but that's all right. I only had one.
Yeah.
Or two.
One constant.
Yeah. Giant glass of wine. No. But, you know, I just think we're really fortunate and blessed to be able to meet some of these people who are out here, you know, with these incredible stories that people are just fascinated by. We're fascinated by serial killers. We're fascinated by history. Fascinated. People love to binge watch. So yeah. If you can find, you know, a nice little short.
Like that fourth story. Part or four night series or yeah. whatever they had.
Yeah. That's incredible.
I was really impressed. I mean, like I said, I really didn't know him and I didn't really know who H.H. Holmes mm-hmm. was until he started talking about him. So I did my research via YouTube and it was, like I said, it was just really interesting seeing him on this TV show because he got into so much in depth of so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So guys, if you know, like, you want to get a hold of Jeff's books, he let you know how, but you can always, go to our page and we'll put a link up. It'll be in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
You can go to Amazon, buy his book.
Yeah.
Or his website.
In other news, I know a lot of you have heard that we're putting on a Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference October 12th here in Toledo, Ohio. It is the Toledo, Ohio Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference.
It is 2019. We are so excited to bring you guys this show. We just hope y'all come out. If you're traveling from out of town, there's tons of restaurants and hotels. It's right off I-75. So, you know, you're not having to, not that Toledo's that big that you have to travel through the city, but
it takes you 20 minutes to get anywhere in Toledo.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's easy to get to. We hope, you know, we get a lot of y'all from Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and all over the United States, or, you know, if there's anybody international that wants to come, hey, go for it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a really, really fun show. We have just incredible lineup of mm-hmm. speakers. We can't tell you all of them right now.
We can tell you three of them.
We'll tell you three, but the big one we can't announce yet because it's a major, major, major television star.
We're going through. I didn't realize how many contracts and all that.
But, I know, it's exciting.
But it's okay. I mean, that's. Yeah. But we will have a host hotel. I'm working on getting a host hotel right next to the event. They just put up like three new hotels, and there's a couple other hotels there, but. We'll get you a good deal at a really nice hotel. It won't be the Red Roof Inn. Even though the Red Roof Inn, I think, is like a $30 a night. Our speakers, we have Chetan Noir, who has been on our show. Actually, all three of these have been on our show. She's a cryptozoologist, author. She does writing for different articles and stuff, but she's awesome. She is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. You know, a friend of the show, and she does a great presentation, and I love her little doggy.
Yeah.
7 pounds of fury. I follow him around Instagram.
She dresses the thing up, okay?
I know. I mean, it's so adorable. But anyways, we also have Steve Ward.
Steve Ward.
Yes. The incredible Steve Ward will be speaking. He, Mothman expert, but he's just an incredible speaker, and I love listening to him because he has all these random and cool stuff to talk about, but he ties it all together very nicely.
Yeah, he is a tour guide at the Mothman Festival in the TNT area, but like you say, he did say he's going to talk about Bigfoot, so we'll see what he talks about.
Yeah, it's incredible. So
we also have, and you've just heard his show last week, Don Allison.
Yes.
When you mentioned that Don wanted to speak, I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah, he's a great, great speaker. It's very entertaining and just brings you a ton of really cool information about, you know, his experiences with ghosts in Gettysburg. And, you know, we're focusing mostly on Bigfoot, but we are, you know, for our paranormal and ghost lovers, we're going to have something for you too.
Yeah, he talks mainly about the ghosts of Gettysburg, but, you know, we all love Gettysburg. So.
I know.
And he is an amazing speaker.
Yeah, so really thankful to have that lineup, but we still haven't announced our big
The big one.
The big, our big celebrity.
Which, I mean, the others are awesome.
Yes, they're all amazing.
But when this person reached out to us, we were awesome. Shocked.
Yeah. So anyways, just stay tuned. That will be announced as soon as we lock in his contract. You know, you got to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Not allowed to say anything until he puts his name down on the contract. Yeah,
in blood.
Yeah.
It's a sign in blood. But you guys, it's going to be so much fun. And you know how fast the summer goes. It'll be here before we know it. So, you know, if you are a Bigfoot vendor or you have, you know, something related to the paranormal or Bigfoot, we still have a few spots open at the time of this show. Mm-hmm. I just have to put that in. So, you know, it's first come, first serve. If you need electrical, make sure you get your forms in right away because it is first come, first serve. And, you know,
we're limited on electronics because they don't want us to run power cables through the walk area, which I understand. Yeah. So the outer rim of tables will be electrical.
Yep. So, you know, we'd love to have you guys. And we know we have a ton of friends out there who are on the conference circuit. And we love to have you guys.
Yeah.
So
it's always nice to have friends.
And
I need friends.
Oh, Joe, you got friends. You got your plants. You have your squirrels and your palm trees are your friends, right? Another thing that I wanted to mention, as you heard at the beginning of the show, we had some new intro music.
Yes. So finally
announced. Big announcement.
Finally, after being in the studio for almost a year now, Dead in Five has a new CD out called Automatic Death Machine. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, you guys, we will maybe we'll do a little giveaway, Joe.
We could
do just a Facebook giveaway.
We could.
A copy of the CD. But no, it's incredible music. You know, we play their music at the beginning of our show and the close of our show because we are loving the Detroit rock.
Yes.
And we hope you like it too. But this new music is incredible. And we're really, really excited that the CD has been released. And you'll have to catch them on tour. Go to Dead in Five Facebook page.
Yep.
And check out all their tour dates. And we'll probably be at the shows. So, you know, Joe's always at the show, you know, because he's the honorary six men of the band.
They used to call me the road manager. It basically means I bought the beer. No.
But yeah, incredible. We're really, really proud of this CD that they have out, this new music, and you know, just to keep your mind.
Another big announcement.
Oh, Joe's got one.
Stay tuned next week.
Did somebody break in and clean your house?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wish. Next week we have one of the biggest celebrities that we've had on the show. Now, Jen says it's the biggest, but I think Stanton Freeman or Dalen
Spratt. I don't know.
He's above Dalen because.
Sorry, Dalen.
Sorry.
No disrespect.
We love your brother, but.
We love, yeah. But you guys got.
And Dalen, when are you bringing the brothers over
for
our
Hello. Yeah. We're talking to you. Anyways, this is going to be like big deal, people. Like big deal. Like,
Stanton Freeman was a big deal.
He was, rest in peace. People are still posting about him passing away and tributes. He made a huge, huge impact on people in the community and just people he met in person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're still thinking of him. We won't forget him.
But anyhow, we will announce who it is in a few days.
Yes,
maybe
guys,
on a Wednesday or Thursday. So who knows?
Stay tuned because, you know.
And it was such a fun interview.
Should we give just a tiny teaser?
I think we should give it a teaser just by saying, bro.
Dude. Figure it out.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, folks, and speaking of Dead in Five, in honor of Jeff Mudgett and H.H. Holmes, this song is Devil, White Devil by Dead in Five on their new CD.
Automatic Death Machine. Yes. Check it out, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.